that your invitation is there to come and seek your face when we're lost or confused, when we need help. Amen. I'd like to do a little experiment, and it involves you counting. Okay, so I'd like to everybody to stand up, please. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go down each row, and I want every fourth person to stay standing and the rest can sit down. Okay, so we've got two sitting down. So Kit, if you could, if Kit could stay standing, Elizabeth and Charlotte can sit down. So we've got one, two, three. Betty, stay standing. Everybody else, sit down. Okay. Juliet, David, you can sit down. You can sit down. Sally, if you stay standing, you want to sit down. Every four, right? So if there are four people in your row, could one stand up and one, and the rest sit down? I mean, if I was really good at maths, I'd work it out, but I can't, so. Okay. Viv, how many people are here in church today? Sorry? 57 and 6 children. And how? 63, great, thanks. And how many people are staying standing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 out of 63. Okay, have a seat. Those numbers will make a sense in a moment. Imagine for a moment a world where no one cared what car you drove, what designer handbag you carried, or what job you worked at. Can you sense the freedom? But this isn't a reality, because we do care. Because we care, we've developed masks to put on, to impress people, to please people. Sometimes these masks are there to protect ourselves from what other people may think of us. If they really knew the real me, they might not like me. They might treat me differently. Wearing a mask for too long can be dangerous, as we can either explode or lose our sense of who we are entirely. One in four people will experience a mental health problem in any year. Mental health problems can be things like depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and they can affect anyone at any time. And it's likely that many people here today, people we know, will be affected. With 21 million of us going to church in the UK, every year, over 5 million people will be suffering from a mental health problem at any given time. The statistics are really scary. I was looking at statistics, and somebody commits suicide every 40 seconds. Just yesterday, we heard in the news about Caroline Flack, who was on Strictly and Love Island, took her life. She couldn't cope anymore. A place like church should be a perfect place in the community to find help, but without the knowledge to identify and care for those in need, it can be a scary and damaging environment. There is still a lot of stigma and discrimination around this subject of mental health, especially among Christians. And in many places, it remains as a taboo subject. One in nine people who suffer from mental health issues won't tell anybody around about it because they fear that they will face discrimination. As a society, mental health is not a subject we're open about, but we are becoming more and more open. We feel afraid, either to talk about our own mental health problems for fear of how people will react, or to talk to someone who we know who's affected about it, because maybe we will feel awkward. In that video, people stopped looking at that boy as soon as he mentioned the word depression. We might not have the right things to say. This fear means that we're silent about mental health issues. We tread on eggshells. We decide it's less awkward to just not to say anything at all. And the silence fuels the stigma, which in turn makes it harder for those who have mental health problems to open up about it. I watched a TED talk done by Ruby Wax, the comedian. She had a mental health episode where she was institutionalized for 6 months. She said in that institution, the people around her became her friends because her friends decided it wasn't something they wanted to be a part of. She occasionally got letters that said, perk yourself up. She said, I've never thought about that. Yep. People who have an injury or who have just given birth have loads of cards, loads of visitors. But this is not something we do. So that's why we've included it in this series. Because it's important. We need to talk about these things. Throughout the Bible, we see figures such as David, Job, Elijah, and Jonah dealing with deep feelings of despair, anger, depression, and loneliness. It's there. Each one of us here has a mental health in the same way that we have physical health. Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It can affect how we think, feel, and act. Positive mental health allows people to develop, learn, and cope with the stresses of life. Anyone can develop a mental health problem. It does not discriminate. So how do we spot the problems? The most common of these mental health issues are things like anxiety, bipolar disorder, depression, OCD. So let's look at them. We all experience levels of stress caused by work pressures, family life, or the amount of homework we get. But for some people, these feelings of anxiety can be prolonged and extreme, making it difficult to carry out simple tasks and can even cause panic attacks. Bipolar disorder is a severe mood disorder causing fluctuations in personality and mood. People with this condition can find it hard to maintain relationships and jobs due to their extreme moods. People with bipolar disorder can be full of energy and talk quickly, easily distracted, going off at tangents, lacking in energy or feel sad, persistent, pessimistic and hopeless. Obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD can be a very disabling condition. People often joke, oh, I've just got a bit of OCD about this thing. But feelings of anxiety are combined with obsessive and unwelcome thoughts that lead to obsessive compulsions, such as constantly checking that the door is locked, washing and cleaning ritually, and an obsession with a certain number. The most common health problem is depression, and that in turn can lead to things like self-harm, to eating disorders. Most of us will experience ups and downs in our lives and at certain times in our lives. If the low mood doesn't go away, this may be a sign of depression. Someone suffering from depression can feel sad, anxious, guilty, angry, helpless, and hopeless. Having anxiety and depression is like being scared and tired at the same time. It's the fear of failure, but no urge to be productive. It's wanting friends, but hating socialising. It's wanting to be alone, but not wanting to be lonely. It's feeling everything at once and then feeling paralysingly numb. Other things to look out for are self-criticism and blame, impaired memory, neglecting responsibilities like housework, and a loss of interest in appearance and hygiene. When one of my friends' husbands is having a bad episode, he doesn't brush his teeth or have a shower. So how do we support those around us who are suffering and maybe suffering from anxiety and depression? I asked a few friends with both invisible illnesses and depression, and this is what they said. Firstly, ask your friend what they need or want. What would help them most? Sometimes they may not know. Be prepared for a really random answer, like, I have 5 bags of rubbish in my kitchen and need to go outside to the wheelie bin, but I can't make it outside. Things that feel really insignificant to each one of us is a massive deal. Secondly, make invitations that's easier for your friend to say yes to, but also don't be offended if they say no. Maybe have a backup in mind. For example, shall I pick you up and take you to Starbucks? We can go through the drive-thru if you don't want to go inside. Or maybe tell me what you want from Starbucks. I'll pick it up and I'll come and I'll bring it to you. Also, don't be surprised if friends cancel with not much warning. They may have done something in that day that has taken all of their energy. Don't assume that your friend is better just because they seem better. They may have put on their mask back on to try not to bother or burden you, or maybe to hide it from somebody else. Remember to check on how they really are and see if they still need help. But also feel free to comment when you notice something small, positive improvements in their condition, because they may not notice these improvements themselves. There's not much to celebrate when you struggle with depression, so celebrate the small wins with your friend. It may sound patronising, but it's not. When they get out of bed, when they've been outside, when they've washed something up, when they've had a shower. Celebrate those small wins. Help your friend to set manageable goals. If you hear them overthinking things and making molehills into mountains, then see if you can help break up small tasks into manageable chunks. They might say to you, I have a load of washing to do as I've run out of pants and I have no energy and it's too much work, I just cannot do it. Suggest maybe today you can collect up all your underwear, put it in the machine. Don't worry about anything else. We can sort that out another time. Lastly, remember to listen. Jesus was a great listener. He stopped. He took time for people. Try not to be shocked or surprised at anything your friend tells you about their condition. If they feel comfortable to talk to you about their day-to-day struggles with depression and anxiety, they will know that it is safe to confide in you with bigger things if they need to. Things like self-harm, suicidal thoughts. And be careful about the language we use. I've heard a number of times that Christians who have a disability, that you can't see, or a mental health problem, that it may be due to something spiritual or emotionally wrong in their lives. Christians can't possibly have depression because there's nothing to be depressed about. We have the love of God. Those are things that have been said to me. We know that some physical health conditions are linked to mental health issues or psychological trauma, but there are more than enough physical problems that are nothing to do with it. Don't judge, assume, condemn, or question. Just walk with them. I don't know what you need to hear this morning. Whether you know someone suffering from a physical or mental issue, or maybe that's you, and it's time to take off your mask. Even if it's just to one person. In the words of Jerry Springer, some people might not know who Jerry Springer is. He was a talk show host, had some very weird people on his show. He used to say at the end of every show, take care of yourself and each other. Self-care isn't always chocolate cake and trips to the spa. Sometimes it's meal planning, going to bed early or letting go of a bad friend. It's forgiving yourself for not meeting your own impossible standards and understanding that you are worthy. Always. Self-care isn't just luxuries, but a means for survival. Like I said, I don't know where you are in this moment. We're going to move into a time of prayer. On your orders of service, you may have noticed that there is a really funky superhero mask on the back. I haven't put any holes in because otherwise you wouldn't see some of the words. There are also some pens and some pencils in the middle of the aisles. We each sometimes put masks up. I just need to find the right thing now. In some situations, and with some people, we are not really ourselves. At school, with certain groups of friends, on social media, at work, maybe even at home. We behave and talk and present ourselves differently because we want to fit in, we want to belong or be liked. And it can be like wearing a series of masks. And it's hard work to keep up with it. What I want you to do is in this moment, I want you to hold this mask. Do you talk and act differently around different people? Do you ever say or do things because you want to be liked, but deep down you know that that's not being yourself? Are you struggling but afraid to tell people? Do you sometimes wear a mask to fit in, to belong? Now, the mask has two eyes. What I would like you to do on one half of your mask is write something about the way you talk or act when you're not being yourself. And on the other side, I'd like you to think about, what mask do you need to take off? Or maybe you know somebody who needs to take off that mask, but you're frightened to ask. And as we do this, we're going to hear a song playing, and it's going to be on the video, that talks about God and how he welcomes us with open arms. How he calls out to us to come out of hiding. I'm just trying to find the lyrics. They've disappeared. Come out of hiding. You're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. Because I loved you before you knew what was love. And I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross. And you were the one I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, the victory is yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. Hopefully you understand what you're doing.